This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
No more closings. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Friday, May 22nd. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump is acknowledging the potential of a rebound in coronavirus infections, but says if there is one, the country won't be closed next time.
Actress Lori Loughlin is expected to plead guilty today in connection with the college admissions cheating scandal. Her plea deal includes 2 months in prison.
Washington and Moscow are planning to discuss a new U.S. proposal for limiting Russian, Chinese, and U.S. nuclear warheads.
And beach towns have their fingers crossed as their make-or-break season approaches.
Basically, they make their money from Memorial Day to Labor Day every summer, and this year is no different, except everything is different this year, right? And they're very stressed out, I think, because, A, there are a lot of restrictions still in a lot of these beach towns, you know, really all across the Northeast, from the Mid-Atlantic all the way up into New England.
Wall Street Journal reporter Scott Calvert on the impact of the coronavirus on communities that have 3 months to make their profits. A third person has been arrested in the murder of Ahmaud Arbery in southern Georgia. Authorities charged 50-year-old William Bryan, who recorded the video that showed the shooting of Mr. Arbery, with felony murder. Civil rights attorney Lee Merritt, who represents the victim's family.
We think that he was a part of the conspiracy to murder her son, and that we're looking forward to a vigorous prosecution.
The Georgia Bureau of Investigation has already arrested a father and son in the case, which drew national attention after the video emerged publicly earlier this month. Mr. Arbery's family has pressed for authorities to charge Mr. Bryan, arguing he wasn't simply a witness recording the incident, but was involved in the killing of the unarmed 25-year-old. The victim is black in this case. The suspects are white. Lawyers for Mr. Arbery's family say he was out for a jog when two men went after him. Gregory McMichael and his son Travis told police they pursued him because he resembled a suspected burglar. President Trump says there could be a second wave of the coronavirus epidemic later this year, but says next time the country will not be closed. Mr. Trump's comments came as he was touring a Ford motor plant outside of Detroit that has converted its automobile plant into one making ventilators. During a speech, the president praised Ford workers for their efforts to produce thousands of ventilators during the pandemic.
Every one of the workers in this project volunteered to take part in the greatest industrialization and mobilization project that our society has done, the American people have done in our lifetimes.
The president drew criticism for not wearing a mask or goggles during his public events at the Ford plant. When questioned, he said he wore a mask before meeting with the media, but took it off because he didn't want to give the press the pleasure of seeing it. Ford said everyone in its factories needed to wear personal protective equipment, including masks, and that its policy has been communicated to the White House. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is pressing Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to pass another round of coronavirus aid. The California Democrat says the $3 trillion Heroes Act that was passed a week ago has broad support across the country.
I think he will. I think that he wants to put some things on the table. But right now, he has decided to obstruct.
Mr. McConnell, the Kentucky Republican, dismissed the legislation as absurd and unserious. He says the four rounds of coronavirus legislation that the House and Senate already passed were successful, and now America is ready to reopen.
It's not like we haven't done anything for state and local government. We may later do more, but we've sent them, as I said, $150 billion just a month or 6 weeks ago.
He was on Fox News. Also, workers filed another 2.4 million claims for unemployment benefits last week, a slight drop in a wave of historically high weekly filings during government lockdowns. It's 10 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
Dell Technologies has special business savings right now to help you office everywhere and stay productive. Save up to 45% on desktops, laptops, and do-it-all servers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10 and save on essential electronics. All with free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit Dell.com/smallbusinessdeals.
Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome into Friday. As Republicans and the White House press forward with investigations into what President Trump is calling Obamagate, one man finds himself squarely in the middle, and that's FBI Director Christopher Wray. More on his hot seat from Olivia Beavers, reporter at The Hill. Olivia, explain.
Christopher Wray is really in this kind of bad spot where he's straddling the line of not wanting to alienate a president who demands loyalty, but also he's representing an agency that is all about law enforcement. It's an agency that the president has harbored a lot of mistrust and distrust towards. And so he's trying to not alienate the people that he oversees and serves. And right now you're seeing kind of this growing chorus of the president's allies asking, where is Christopher Wray? I talked to one source, and they were saying, why won't he just throw us a bone like Rick Grenell as the Director of National Intelligence or Bill Barr as the Attorney General? They want to see more of Wray saying Comey was corrupt or we're going to investigate what happened with Flynn. And Wray has largely remained quiet.
All right, so he has kept this low profile. Some appreciate it, some don't, I guess?
Certainly. I mean, the Republicans who are pushing for him to be more vocal are not happy about it. So we've started to see this line being tossed around both in the Senate and the House saying, where is Christopher Wray? House Republicans tried to have him come in voluntarily, but they lacked subpoena power. So they weren't able to get him to come in on Tuesday, I believe, to testify about what happened in the Flynn case. But this kind of question of where he is starting to become a little bit more loud as Wray remains quiet. But what we were also seeing before it even filtered to the House and the Senate were these sort of conservative commentators who are close allies of the president who were starting to describe Wray as a swamp rat who needs to go.
Wow.
So there was already sort of this echo chamber, and it's just getting a little bit louder.
Does Mr. Wray report to Bill Barr, the attorney general?
I mean, it's certainly a close working relationship at the Justice Department, but, you know, he also has his own kind of leadership role where he's able to make determinations on his own. And that at times, you know, can cause friction, but usually those are positions where you're working hand in glove. So I'd be curious to know a little bit more how that relationship is right now. Although Barr did recently praise him for the work of the FBI, discovering the connection between Al-Qaeda and the shooter in Pensacola in last December.
Yeah. We're speaking with Olivia Beavers, national security reporter at The Hill. Her piece is called FBI Director Stuck in the Middle with Obamagate. There were strong words, too, from I think it was Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, who said the longer this lingers, the more suspicion grows and the more he himself is brought into question. Does that indicate that Mr. Wray could be on the outs?
Certainly. And, you know, I've been wondering and asking some of the Republicans I know well on Capitol Hill. They say they're not calling for Wray to be, you know, fired or ousted just yet. And that might change. But right now they just want answers and they want him to be more out there in public. But, you know, I always like to kind of have that, you know, question that with my Republican sources, and they say, you know, the president does get fed up and he can at times not listen to advice from advisors. He has been told not to fire Wray before the presidential election out of fear that there would be this political backlash. And they also say he doesn't always listen to this advice, or he waits for the exact last day to do it, like he did with Jeff Sessions. Day after the elections, Jeff Sessions was gone.
Thanks, Olivia. Olivia Beavers, reporter at The Hill. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Reconsideration of jobless aid is fast becoming the focus of congressional debates over the next aid package. After the Senate decided to take a pause on new pandemic proposals, senators are facing mounting pressure to act. The Senate's also begun efforts to fast-track an extension of a popular small business lending program.
Number two.
The Georgia man whose cell phone video of Ahmaud Arbery's fatal shooting helped it reignite the case has been charged with murder, making him the third person arrested more than 2 months after the shooting. 50-year-old William Bryan Jr. was arrested on charges of felony murder and criminal attempt to commit false imprisonment. Attorney Lee Merritt represents Arbery's family.
He was clearly trailing behind Ahmaud even before you see the McMichaels come into the frame. He is behind Ahmaud recording as if he knew something was about to happen.
Arbery was killed February 23rd when a white father and son armed themselves and pursued him after spotting the 25-year-old black man running through their neighborhood.
Number three.
The FBI says a shooting at a Texas Naval Air Station that left a sailor injured and the gunman dead is terrorism-related. FBI Supervisory Agent Leah Grieve says investigators are looking for a second person of interest in connection with the incident at Naval Air Station Corpus Christi.
The subject is deceased. The scene is still being processed. We may have a potential second related person of interest at large in the community.
The gunman sped through an entry gate, leading security personnel to put up a barrier that stopped the vehicle. Security forces then exchanged gunfire with the suspect. Hong Kong's pro-democracy lawmakers are sharply criticizing China's move to take over long-stalled efforts to enact national security legislation in the semi-autonomous territory, saying it goes against the one country, two systems framework. The proposed bill is aimed at forbidding secessionist and subversive activity, the move drawing strong rebuke from the U.S. The Major League Baseball Players Association has given management a response to a proposed set of protocols for a season. The union says it addressed protections for high-risk players, access to pre- and post-game therapies, testing frequency, and protocols for positive coronavirus tests. Players viewed many of the concepts in the original draft as over the top, such as arriving in uniform at the ballpark and a prohibition on them leaving without team permission.
I know that's something floating around for me at the high school level, in which they're talking about players not being able to use locker rooms, for example. You just go home from the game or go home after practice.
A lot to work out.
Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. With Americans growing more cautious about their spending habits in the wake of layoffs and pay cuts due to the coronavirus pandemic, experts caution that small businesses should brace for a rise in what's known as friendly fraud. How it works, from Jessica Menton, personal finance reporter at USA Today. Jess, what is it?
It works essentially like this. A customer could receive some sort of product that they paid for with their credit card, and then they end up contacting their bank to dispute the charge for a refund, which is essentially a chargeback. And they're doing that without actually trying to make a return through the merchant that they bought the product from. And that causes a lot of issues for particular banks because chargebacks aren't really good for merchants. They typically come with a lot of fees. They can range anywhere from, you know, about $20 to $100. So if a business has too many, their account could get shut down or their transaction costs may rise, which obviously small businesses are already dealing with a number of hurdles, especially in the wake of this pandemic. So the fact that they also have to be mindful of these other potential fraudulent issues, you know, is kind of another double whammy for them.
Yeah. All right. So how does the fraud work here? How does the person committing the fraud benefit?
So basically what can happen with this kind of chargeback fraud, which is also known as friendly fraud, it occurs when a consumer makes any sort of online shopping purchase, and it's really risen in the wake of sort of e-commerce, and they're making those purchases with their own credit card, and then they're requesting a chargeback from their bank after actually receiving the goods. So they're getting what they got, but they're asking still to get charged back. And the whole reason it's called friendly because there are instances, unfortunately, where it might be an honest mistake. Like, say you did, something was delivered, but, you know, you go downstairs to get your package. It's not there. Maybe you live with someone and they had, like, picked it up for you, put it inside, you didn't realize. And so then, you know, you call up your bank. So I think that there are, unfortunately, instances where, you know, it is an honest mistake, but there is actually a number of instances where
it is fraud, where people are actually getting what they paid for, but then they're calling their bank and they're asking to get that charge back instead of saying, calling directly through that merchant and saying, hey, I want a refund for this.
Boy, that seems like it's very difficult to police for small businesses, right? And time-consuming, right. I would imagine.
Yes. No, it definitely is. And it's challenging because, again, the fact that it could be an honest mistake. And also, I've talked to a number of different experts, and they were talking about how, you know, businesses can have tracking and shipping tools in place, but, you know, not everybody can, you know, require their customers that they're delivering to sign upon delivery because, you know, say you're an essential worker right now and you need to go to work, you might not be home. So it's sort of one of those things where it could be an issue where even if you have these tracking and shipping tools in place to see if something did indeed get delivered to that customer, what if, you know, it was left outside the door and it did get stolen? You know, that I feel like it is hard to police. But, I mean, if you do have a situation where people are able to sign for delivery, then that does create a paper trail for you that's easier to track. But unfortunately, I don't think it necessarily works for every customer like that.
Thanks, Jess. Jessica Menton, personal finance reporter at USA Today. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Everything begins with an idea, but how do you bring it to life? If your idea requires graphic design, copywriting, web programming, or some other skill, how do you locate that help? For the talent you need at a price you can afford, the answer is Fiverr. Fiverr connects you to a network of trusted freelance talent that's worked on some of the most influential brands in the world. Fiverr Talents offer hundreds of digital services that you can search by service, deadline, price, reviews, and more. With Fiverr, there are no unknowns. You'll know exactly what you're paying for upfront with no negotiation. And Fiverr's talents are proven to ensure you get the expertise you need to bring your idea to life. And when you give Fiverr a try now, you'll save. Check out Fiverr.com today and use my code Gordon to receive 10% off your first order. It's so easy. Find all the digital services you need in one place at Fiverr.com, code Gordon. Again, that's Fiverr.com and the code Gordon. Try Fiverr today.
This is America's First News, your number one source for coronavirus facts and information. This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, May 22. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. President Trump says the country won't close again if there's a resurgence of the coronavirus. Actress Lori Loughlin to plead guilty in the college admissions cheating scandal. News conference in Georgia today after a third man was charged in connection with the murder of Ahmaud Arbery. University of California system will stop using the SAT and ACT exams. IBM planning unspecified job cuts under its new CEO. And the contents of a metal safe reeled in by a little boy fishing in South Carolina. That story in about 20 minutes. From Ocean City, Maryland, to the Jersey Shore, up to Cape Cod in Massachusetts, the window between Memorial Day and Labor Day is make or break for hotels, restaurants, arcades, places like t-shirt shops. On top of potential concerns about the coronavirus pandemic, more than 36 million Americans have filed for unemployment benefits, pinching disposable incomes. What will the summer look like for beach towns and businesses that wait all year for summer? Here's Scott Calvert, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Scott, must be a lot of anxiety.
Oh, yeah, they're super anxious because, you know, basically they make their money from Memorial Day to Labor Day every summer, and this year is no different, except everything is different this year, right? And they're very stressed out, I think, because, A, there are a lot of restrictions still in a lot of these beach towns, you know, really all across the Northeast, from the Mid-Atlantic all the way up into New England. And there are questions about who will actually show up, you know, once the restrictions are eased in terms of tourists and customers and how comfortable they'll be visiting and spending their money. So big question marks.
Yeah, geez. All right, so in your neck of the woods along the Maryland shore, the one guy's quoting your story early on, he said, I basically have 110 days to make money for 365 days, which is not unusual. However, some are saying, I'm just trying to make it to next year.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was in Ocean City, Maryland, and, you know, this is the time of year when things are really starting to heat up. You know, there are 7,000 year-round residents, but on big summer weekends, you can have 300,000 people in Ocean City on the boardwalk, on the beach, at the miniature golf places, at the restaurants and the bars, the amusement parks, you know, all the usual things that you do at a summer beach town. And the person you mentioned, Kevin Gibbs, he operates the Dough Roller restaurant at the foot of the boardwalk, more or less. And part of his challenge is he's a mostly indoor restaurant. He's got 53 tables, and right now there's zero service allowed indoors at restaurants in Maryland, and they haven't even moved to the point where you can have even limited outdoor seating. So he's nervous. He has a takeout window, which does a good chunk of his business, but he really needs that dining room to open up again.
Yeah. So what kind of restrictions have been lifted at this point that may be offering some measure of optimism for folks in, say, Ocean City, Maryland?
Well, about 10 days ago, the town opened the boardwalk and the beach, and then last week, Governor Larry Hogan lifted a statewide stay-at-home order and moved into phase one, which, among other things, allows for retail establishments to be open at 50% capacity. But what the town of Ocean City did at that point was say that hotels and short-term rentals could start taking guests again. And so that means that, you know, people can certainly go to Ocean City. They can stay in the hotels and do some things, but they obviously are pretty limited in what they can do still as far as the restaurants go.
Mm. We're speaking with Scott Calvert, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called "For Beach Towns, Coronavirus Means a Make or Break Summer Starts Now." Have any of these independent owners and operators of various beach entities found that the Paycheck Protection Program was a help in it's bridging some sort of gap?
Absolutely. I talked to several business owners who applied for and received those loans. One guy I talked to, Adam Schowell, he is the majority owner of the Castle in the Sand Hotel. It's an old family business that's been there since the late 1950s. I think it opened in 1960, so long track record. He actually got a Paycheck Protection loan in the $500,000 range, which he said is pretty key, you know. And so that means he can hire folks back and use that money to pay them. And then if he, you know, meets certain criteria, then that converts to a grant. It becomes forgivable. So he's taken advantage of that. He also got deferment on mortgage payments from a lender. And in addition, he normally does several hundred thousand dollars worth of upgrades to the hotel, you know, just keeping it spruced up, yeah. Right? And so he's going to pull back on that, you know, I guess in the off season after the summer is over, because he already did a lot of stuff this past winter. So those three things is giving him a great sense of optimism that while his gross revenue will probably be down, he thinks he's going to net out pretty close to a typical summer.
Thanks, Scott. Scott Calvert, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. Time now for the mic drop with This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it's hard enough to keep telemarketers from pinging our cell phones, so you can imagine what life must be like for someone whose phone number used to belong to a celebrity entrepreneur with a huge following. Lindsay Tucker is a 25-year-old skincare consultant from San Jose, California. And on any given day, she says she gets at least three calls meant for Tesla founder Elon Musk. Tucker says she never even heard of Musk until a couple of years ago, when she started fielding a steady stream of texts and calls intended for him because her phone number used to be registered to him. And that volume of calls is on a good day. If Musk makes news or causes controversy, she says her phone blows up. And while fielding all these extra calls can surely be annoying, it can also be interesting. She says one person called her volunteering to go to space with SpaceX. Another person sent her a blueprint for a bionic limb.
Wow.
And I'm sure that's only the tip of the iceberg, the people who want to call and talk to Elon Musk, and probably don't believe her when she says that it's not his number,
yeah.
Right? Probably thinks that she's like his assistant or something,
yep.
Right? And, you know, and just don't even believe it. So they keep trying to convince her to put her through to him. I can only
yeah.
imagine that.
I wonder if she could cleverly turn some of these calls into actual sales leads for her skincare products.
Right.
Like, but without lying about it, you know, cleverly say, let me see if I can reach Mr. Musk. In the meantime,
yeah.
can I interest you in some skincare products. For example, on sale this month, you know, blah, blah, blah.
And that's not lying or deceptive? That's not deceptive
at
all?
I didn't say deceptive. I just said it's not lying. And then just say at the end of the call, oh, it appears that I'm unable to reach Mr. Musk at this time.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah,
it's like, it's clever, right?
I suppose that's clever. Some would say a bit deceptive.
I can be a shady sales guy.
I mean, sure. I mean, I'd vote. I'd let her do it for sure. I'd like to see her try.
She's probably earned it at this point.
Yes. And there's lots of information, Gordon, you can volunteer on a dating app, but there's one personal tidbit that some are hoping will get a leg up on other singles, a coronavirus antibody test. A Long Island-based matchmaker told Fox News that more singles are posting their test results in their online profiles in the hopes of making them more attractive to potential mates. Some dating apps are looking to incorporate some sort of COVID-19 testing information into their profiles as well. Of course, even a positive antibody test is not a foolproof immunity passport or a barrier to possible reinfection. So until the pandemic subsides, many singles are still going to be wary of meeting up with anyone in person. Antibodies or not.
Man.
I mean, we've already talked about the lengths that people are going. They're using the drones to try and meet up with each other. Not a good time to be lonely.
Tough go that way. Tough go for singles right now, I guess.
Yes, for sure.
So, I guess if you meet, you say, listen, let's agree to quarantine and FaceTime for 14 days.
Right.
Then go have dinner at an outdoor seating restaurant or something.
I mean, to be 100% safe, I guess you'd both have to get a test, right?
Yeah.
And be negative, right? And then decide we're not going to see anybody else except each other for the next 2 weeks.
That's one way to exclusive dating, right?
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Even in tough times, you want to try to look your best, even if it's just from the waist up for those video chats. So when it comes to your facial hair, Harry's has you covered, bringing you incredibly high-quality blades at factory direct prices, just $2 per blade. Now, when it comes to my facial hair, I'm typically a goatee guy, but lately I've been using these times of home quarantine to experiment with a full beard. This has allowed the precision trimmer blade on my Harry's razor to take center stage. I use it to make sure my new beard is looking its best. Now, you can keep your face looking smooth, too, or your beard looking clean with a Harry's trial set delivered right to your doorstep. Just go to harrys.com/Gordon to order yours. And get this, to help support those who need it the most right now, Harry's is donating $1 million worth of shaving supplies to hospitals across the U.S. so you can feel good about looking good. Listeners of our show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/Gordon. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/Gordon to start shaving better today. Thanks for being with us. There are more ways than ever, by the way, to connect to America's First News. You can enable the flash briefing skill in the Amazon Alexa app and set This Morning with Gordon Deal to be your flash briefing of choice. Then when you ask Alexa to play my flash briefing, you'll automatically get the latest news from your favorite show. More than 35 million people are out of work, right? Many households struggling to pay for basic expenses, but Americans are still finding ways to spend on swimming pools. MarketWatch quotes pool builders who say they're seeing a surge of interest from homeowners. Dick Covert, executive director of the Master Pools Guild, a group of about 100 builders that specialize in custom-built high-end pools, says some builders have gotten more requests in the first 3 months of this year than they had all of last year. But a pool oasis does not require a big budget. Catherine Reagan, a 26-year-old software engineer in Dallas, lives in a condo complex with a pool that's currently closed. So she bought an inflatable pool on Amazon for about $25. She recommends lounging in it with a book and drinking either a hard seltzer or glass of rosé. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin suggests there could be another round of stimulus.
We're going to carefully review the next few weeks. I think there is a strong likelihood we will need another bill, but we just have $3 trillion we're pumping into the economy, and we're going to step back for a few weeks and think very clearly how we need to spend more money and if we need to do that.
Mnuchin's measured support for another package in an interview with The Hill comes as Senate Republicans largely are in no rush to provide further aid.
Number two.
British researchers testing an experimental vaccine against the coronavirus are moving into advanced studies and aim to immunize more than 10,000 people to determine if the shot works. Last month, scientists at Oxford began immunizing more than 1,000 volunteers with their vaccine candidate in a preliminary trial. Today, the scientists announced that they now aim to vaccinate 10,260 people across Britain. Drug maker AstraZeneca says it secured its first agreements for 400 million doses of that vaccine.
Number three.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer has prevailed in a high-stakes challenge from Republican lawmakers in Michigan who sued over her authority to declare emergencies and order sweeping restrictions during the coronavirus outbreak. A judge said a 1945 law cited by Whitmer is not limited to local and regional emergencies only. Full House actress Lori Loughlin will serve 2 months in jail for her part in the college admission scandal. Loughlin will plead guilty in the case today, and her husband will do 5 months. The guilty pleas are an about-face for the couple. Since the scandal broke, they've claimed innocence. This year's hurricane season is expected to be busier than normal, with forecasters warning of the possibility that the coming months could be extremely active for tropical storms and hurricanes. NOAA Administrator Neil Jacobs.
There is a 60% chance of above normal season, 30% chance of near normal season, and just a 10% chance of below normal season.
Experts warn that people should develop disaster preparedness plans early, especially as the pandemic will likely complicate emergency responses to extreme weather events. The Atlantic hurricane season begins June 1st and stretches until November 30th. We got 10 hours of Michael Jordan. How about 9 of Tom Brady? The record 6-time Super Bowl champion will reveal details of his 20 years and 9 trips to the NFL championship game with New England in a documentary he will co-produce with ESPN. The 9-part series will air in 2021.
All right. I am now 4 episodes into The Last Dance.
Okay.
I'm closing in on you. Did you finish it?
No.
You have half an episode to go.
Yeah.
You saved half an episode.
This weekend.
Okay. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
Dell Technologies has special business savings right now to help you office everywhere and stay productive. Save up to 45% on desktops, laptops, and do-it-all servers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10 and save on essential electronics. All with free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit Dell.com/small business deals.
Thanks for being with us. A 6-year-old boy has helped crack a nearly decade-old robbery case when he reeled in a locked safe from the bottom of a South Carolina lake. WCIV Television says Knox Brewer, who lives in Johns Island, just outside Charleston, took up magnet fishing and has been hunting for metal objects underwater as a way to pass time during the pandemic. The boy was out with his family at Whitney Lake this month when the magnet attached to his line stuck to something heavy in the mud below. It turned out to be a waterlogged lockbox containing debris-covered jewelry and credit cards, as well as a checkbook. The TV station says authorities determined the sunken safe belonged to a woman who lived across the street from the lake, been stolen from her 8 years ago. While most of the expensive stuff had been taken, the find still turned out to be a valuable catch because the woman said she finally had some closure. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.